Welcome to episode 48 of the Band of Gamers podcast, a special Saturday release of the podcast because all the press conferences of any size are starting tomorrow on Sunday. So we're releasing the podcast a day early, and because E3 is just right around the corner, that's what we're going to talk about. But first, let's do the introductions. My name is Greylock3491, and I'm not alone. I'm actually joined by DBQ Hams.
Thank you for having me back. It's been a while.
And Osiris Prime.
Hi to everybody.
And Zeusidamus really, really, really wanted to be here, but he is stuck in traffic. So he may pop in, he may not, but we do miss him either way. And welcome back, guys. Great having you both back. And welcome back, DB. And, you know, let's just go ahead and jump into it. We're going to start off with segment one, which is now sponsored by Casual Adult Gamers. CasualAdultGamers.com, where adults go to talk about gaming. Get there quickly by visiting us at www.thecag.ws. And segment one, I probably should say, is what we've been playing. And I'm going to go ahead and start off. Since I get the floor anyways, I might as well just keep going, right? I've been playing some Castle Siege. It's like 5 minutes a day, like 5 minutes in the morning, then 5 minutes at night, because you really can't do anything else unless you have a lot of money. But I am ranking up a lot of crowns. I'm getting better and better at taking down my opponents down to 50%, which you win if you get the 50%. So I'm getting better at that. And I'm just taking Spiral's advice, and I'm not upgrading my age. I'm not upgrading my castle. I'm upgrading everything around it. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's a five-minute diversion in the morning and at night. Also played some Destiny. I played the daily with Maceplate, and I'll tell you what. After that, I just shut it off. I just had that feeling, that overwhelming feeling, like, I'm done. I'm done with this game. So I don't know why. I think the daily was just kind of hard and stupid, and the enemies were, like, being bullet sponges and, you know. And then played some Halo 5 and doing co-op. Did the first two missions with Maceplate and Spiral. And Spiral talked us into doing it on Heroic. And it was mostly fun. But at some points, again, the enemies were just being bullet sponges. You know, you'd shoot them, no sign that they were getting weaker or their health was going down. And I had a lot of fun playing it, but some frustration too because we were playing on Heroic. So I kind of went back and forth on that. And that is what I played. Those are my top three. How about you, Prime? What have you been playing?
I actually haven't had a chance to play much this past week, so mine's going to be pretty cool. So the games I did get to play, actually, I only played one console game this past week, and that was a little bit of Black Ops 3. I think that was like Monday or Tuesday. And then I was just busy during the week, and just by the time I got to gaming, I didn't even want a game. I sat down and actually cracked open a book for like the first time in God knows how long. So I was doing that. And then, but I just did want to highlight a couple of mobile games that I've been playing lately, probably for the past month or so, two months or so. Castle Siege, just like you, Age of Empires, Castle Siege. Kind of doing the same thing you were, Gray, just kind of building up my camp, the defenses and stuff like that. I did the same thing, you know. I was trying to upgrade my castle right away, and then I saw that the messages from the other guys, so I started, you know, doing that. And I've been able to defend a few times, but pretty much I'm getting destroyed, so I think I'm just going to start attacking again like I used to, so hopefully I'll be able to get some more crowns. I think I'm down to zero crowns now, because after that last attack, I pretty much wiped up all my crowns. And then other than that, I've been playing Avengers Academy, which is, if you've ever played, like, The Family Guy, and I can't remember what the name of it was, the subtitle, or Simpsons Tapped Out. It's kind of like that, where you kind of create your own world, kind of a deal. So you can kind of rearrange, just like a university for the Avengers in this world, the universe, I guess you want to call it. So you can, you know, rearrange the playing field how you like, and then you unlock different things as you level up. So different characters and. They do special events. They just had the Civil War special event, obviously for the movie that just came out. So it's cool. I like Marvel and just any kind of comic related stuff. So I was, you know, kind of going through that. And then other than that, that's pretty much it. So DB, how about you?
So I've been busy as well with work, but I've had time to dive in late in the evenings on a couple of different games. So last time I was on, it's been a couple weeks, I talked about playing Battleborn Tap and Battleborn, and since then Battleborn's gone on sale multiple times, whether or not it's to kind of combat Overwatch or simply because it's not selling very well. But I continue to kind of chip away at it, and what I've found is I've stopped playing the multiplayer, but I really enjoy the missions. And the missions end up being, they end up being like strikes in Destiny Gray, where you can, I did it with three person, actually a family member and I did it as two people, and they scale, the enemies scale, and so it makes it very enjoyable. And in some ways, the nice thing about Battleborn missions, unlike Destiny Strikes, is where you have to have, you have to grind for a certain level of gear. Battleborn Strikes, everybody starts off at the same level to begin with. And so there's not a, anybody can jump in. There's not a matter of who's got the right equipment or the gun with the right perks. It's easy to drop in and drop out with all the different characters. And so again, there's only eight strikes, there's only eight missions, so it's not a huge thing, but I think as Battleborn starts to drop in price, this past week it was on Xbox Spotlight sale, my assumption is it's going to continue to drop, and so if you're looking for kind of a co-op game, something that you can drop in and drop out and have some chat as you play, for $20 to $30, Battleborn's probably worth it. It's not going to be a full price game, and I think the sales are starting to show that. So, but if somebody's out there that's looking for something to do over the summer and has got some co-op friends either on the couch or online to play with, it actually ends up being a pretty fun experience. So that's been good. Last year around this time, Heroes of the Storm, the Blizzard MOBA, launched, and so this past week they are in an anniversary phase, which means double XP, and I always love my double XP, so I'm getting back into that. And I've actually been listening to some podcasts about kind of the meta of that, of the game, because I played it, if people go back early episodes on Band of Gamers, they'll hear me talking about how much I really enjoyed it, and then I kind of set it down, and so getting back into it after all the changes have happened, it's been kind of a learning curve, but I'm still enjoying it. It's still fun. And the game that I've spent the most time with, just like probably both of you guys, is a mobile game. The game I've spent the most time with this past week has been Skylanders Battlecast. So this is Activision's Skylanders trading card game. So Skylanders is the Toys to Life character, basically Diablo with little toys. But Battlecast ends up playing like a Hearthstone. So it's a collectible card game. You can buy coins to buy more packs, or you can actually buy physical card packs in the store. And that's ended up what I ended up doing some of that because my kids love the characters. And so it's been a fun, like I can play online and enjoy the game like Hearthstone, but then having the physical cards means that my sons and I can sit around the table and kind of play a card game that way. And so that's been really fun. I've enjoyed that and it's been a nice time. So again, that's Skylanders Battlecast. It's if you like collectible card games or if you have kids who are interested in that but not quite ready to dive into something like Hearthstone or Magic, it's a neat game and it's got some depth to it. So that's what I've been playing. But before we kick off on the next subject, Gray, can I ask you about Destiny? So you say you're feeling done with it. Is it like done with it till next week until you run another round of strikes? Or are you feeling done with it until there's actually something new to play?
You know, I think I'm done with it as in I need a break. And I don't know why I'm saying that except that, like Prime was saying, just picking up a book. I just when I get sometimes I get burnt out in the game. I just rather like when I shut off Destiny and let my mace and spy play by themselves. I just went downstairs and read a book. So it was so much more enjoyable. I think I was feeling a grind. They need to make the game harder and harder and harder for the people who play daily. But to me, that just makes it a grind. So that's why I flipped over the Halo, and I thought Halo was going to be fun and relaxing. Except I get talked into doing it on heroic, and it started kind of feeling like a grind a little bit. So, I have to see next time I play Halo. If it feels grindy, I'm gonna recommend we drop it down. I'm here to have fun, not to be a not to spawn die, spawn die. So yeah, so no, I think I'm done. I think I'm just feeling worn out with Destiny. I love the game. It's just so great, but you know, it, what the missions you can run. You know, I'm frustrated. I don't have good weapons. Like I used to have the perfect weapons, and now all those perfect weapons are way underpowered, and all the new weapons I have, I just don't like. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I got my second year or so of my first years, my MIDI multi-tool, my Saurus regime. But I don't have a good sniper or rocket launcher. My Hunger of Crota, my Galahorn, my Icebreaker are all useless. You know, it's just like, ugh. So, I need a break.
Sure, that makes sense, and you know it's not a bad. I took a break last year with Destiny until I got back into it in August, and yeah, it's tricky because things like rocket launchers don't do nearly as much damage as they did in year one. So, and the fact that you know that when the next expansion comes out, it's going to take only hours to get up to where people have spent days and weeks grinding to, and you know, that kind of time in versus you know, time out really is questionable. But yeah, you know, I got three characters finally above 300, all above 300. I really enjoy it. I still jump in, maybe do a little bit of Crucible, do a couple strikes, but my time in has been less and less as the weeks go on, and it's at that grind stage, and it's not necessarily as rewarding. So, I agree. It's time to, and that's okay, right? Time to take a break. We've got a lot of exciting news coming up in a week that should give us plenty to get excited about. So, it'll be good.
Yeah, I think it's good. Go ahead, Prime.
No, I was just going to say, I think you guys might get a little excited because I was just reading an article, and I don't have it down here. I read it real quick about the potentially that they're going to have a big blowout on Destiny, you know, obviously during E3, so on the new expansion, or the big expansion that's supposedly supposed to come out this year.
Yeah, I got
Actually.
that in my go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to say, isn't it June 9th? Like, it's even going to be before E3 that they're going to talk a little bit about the Hearts of Iron expansion. So, but were you going to say, Gray, what did you get in your email?
No, that's I was going to say I put that in my in the section 3. I put that down as one of the things I'm looking forward to. Like to hear well, I guess I'll wait to section 3, but yeah, I'm very interested in hearing what's coming for Destiny. Not sure if I'll buy the next expansion though. There's just so much other stuff on the market.
Cool.
All right, guys. Well, with that, we're going to take our first break and talk about this week's community news, which is sponsored by GamingWorldForums.com, a gaming world located in a peaceful, troll-free corner of cyberspace. New communities welcome. And this week for community news, we have really just one community submitted news. Casual Adult Races had their regular top five, Solo Racer X's top five, and love to ask people what their pick is. Osiris, tell us about your pick.
Yeah, actually, their number one video, which was called Lag, was pretty funny when you can just see. I think it was a like a third person or a third car, I guess if you want to say perspective. And then you can see that in front of him, there's just this car kind of just juddering like all around the racetrack, just kind of going back and forth, you know, just like really juddery and like almost like he's teleporting, you know, all around just because of the lag, I guess. So that was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, that one. At first, I'm like, yeah, I probably won't pick that. So I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh, the Days of Thunder one was great. I have some clips on my YouTube channel of similar Days of Thunder type of experiences in Forza. And so I'm like, oh, that's gonna be my pick. And then the guy who was drifting, and as he was drifting, his car ended up turning over and going over and over and over. I'm like, oh, that has to be my number one. But then I saw the lag, and I'm like, yeah, I think I gotta go with Prime on the lag. That was just had me laughing out loud because that car was just like all over the place. It was just like it was hilarious. So that is CasualAdultRacers.com and Solo Racer X's top five. And that's it for this week's community news. And that brings us up to our second segment. And our second segment just happens to be brought to us by CasualAdultRacers.com, where adults go to race, crash, and laugh. All right, so let's talk about this week's gaming news. And DB, your name is at the top of the list, so I'm going to throw it to you first.
Okay, so I guess I've been gone for a little bit, but last week, Fable Fortune, the card game, was announced and trying to be kickstarted. So the former Lionhead Studios, they were working on, as I was talking about Skylanders Battlecast as a card game, right? So this fits in. They're working on a Fable card game. So Fable Fortune, it was a card game that was close to being developed and ready to go. Along with Fable Legends, that 4v1 game that never really got out of beta. Fable Fortunes, Microsoft actually licensed the former group of Lionhead Studios, which is Flaming Fowl Studios, is what they've called themselves after some good British cheeky chicken humor from Fable. But the challenge is that they may have the license, but they're trying to kickstart the game, and they're looking for 365,000, over 365,000. And right now, they're only at 61, 62,000. And so, the way that Kickstarter usually works is they get a big boost in the beginning when they announce it, and then the middle kind of dies off, and they get a big boost at the end. And so, since this has been out for a week, they've had their big boost in the beginning, and now it's kind of dying off. And to try to grab basically 300,000, the majority of their amount in the last push, I just don't think it's going to happen. And so I think it's an interesting thing. It's called Fable Fortune, if people want to look it up to see what it's about. Whether or not you decide to kickstart it, it's up to you. But I wonder what this tells Microsoft as the Fable IP. Is the Fable IP something that Microsoft's going to bank on again as we head into E3, or the fact that this as a Kickstarter is kind of dying on the vine isn't really a good sign about the Fable IP? Or I guess is it simply just that people who want Fable want a role-playing game versus a multiplayer battler or a card game? They just want Fable. So that's my first bit of news. And my second bit of news is again another game pulled out of the end of development and giving a second life. So, Galaxy in Turmoil, this was broke over the weekend. So, Frontwire is a group of developers who are an indie studio. They're all running, kind of working on it according to reports. There's multiple ones out there, Polygon, Gamasutra, Kotaku, that there is, they're doing Galaxy in Turmoil, which is built on the old Battlefront 3 engine and idea. So they're doing things like Conquest, they're doing a single player campaign, and they've been working on it for a while. But they've been trying to figure out how to publish it because they obviously don't have the Star Wars rights. And they've been talking with lawyers, and this is where, as a librarian, this is really interesting to me because they're classifying it under parody, right? So that it's not going to violate copyright because they're not making money for it. They've been in talks with Steam, and they're going to release it for free, which doesn't infringe on EA and DICE's Battlefront because they're not charging anything, and because they're doing it within the confines of expression, that they're trying to classify it under parody for copyright. So they're hopeful that they could actually release it, but that will be the question. The big stories out here on multiple of these sites is that it's a free game that's going to be produced, and it's called Galaxy in Turmoil. And they're hoping to kind of skirt legal issues, even though they're using assets from the Star Wars universe. Have you guys, so Gray, I know you're a big Star Wars fan. Did you hear about the story over the weekend?
Yeah, I did, and man, I'd love to play it. I'm kind of looking forward to it, but I see no way that this can become that this comes under anything like parody or anything like that. It basic the whole the design of the game almost mimics the design of, Battlefront 2. You know what I'm saying? It's basically a version of Battlefront, which will steal sales away from the real Battlefront. So while I'm excited for it, while I want to play it, I think Disney and Star Wars people would be crazy not to ask them to take it down, because it's going to rob sales. Some I think it's going to dilute their potential customer base, you know. But that's my thought on it. Although I want to get a copy of it, I'd love to have it. I'd love Disney not to, you know, slam it closed, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really want to play it as well as an old Battlefront fan, but I also think you're right that it may not necessarily because they're not charging for it doesn't mean that EA isn't going to assume that they're losing sales, right? I think the idea of diluting the brand or giving customers an alternative versus the DLC that they're trying to sell. Yeah, I think that there's probably a good enough legal case there, or at least it's going to get caught up in litigation, whether or not there would be a decision, but it'll just get caught up in paperwork. So those are my stories. Two games that may potentially see a new light of day after studios and projects close. So you've got a story, Osiris, about a studio that's one of my favorites, and so I'm excited about this.
Yes, actually, before that, so I had a question on this Battlefront 3 game. I just actually just saw the article today. I actually saw it earlier on, I think it was IGN, and then I was skimming through the article that you put up there. So they're leaving all the essence in place, then they're not like changing any names or like, maybe slightly changing the vehicles or anything like that on their release, as far as you know.
No, from all that I've read, they're not using licensed music, which is under a different contract and legal piece. So they're pulling out the John Williams scores, things like that. But in terms of assets, they're treating it almost like they're going to treat it like a mod and list it out that way. And that's why they feel like they can get by with using the same assets rather than modifying them in such a way that pretends not to be an X-Wing but still looks pretty close. So that's their hope, at least legally.
Oh, okay. I don't know. More than likely, yeah. I think I agree with you guys. It's probably not gonna get too far. Maybe they release it, and then Disney or whoever is probably just gonna tell them to take it down right away if it even gets that far. I'm just gonna assume.
Yeah, I think as Disney as the copyright king who has extended copyright law and changed copyright law for Mickey Mouse so that it's past the time of death and Disney continues to change copyright to benefit itself, I don't see how they don't try to litigate this. But if it does release for free, pay attention, guys, and download it quickly because it could be really fun to play.
Oh, yep, I was just thinking about that. Yeah, just get to it quick if it does release. All right, so first up, I got a couple new stories here. And first one is a game announcement from our friends at Volition Games, who actually, I believe, are based out of Champaign, Illinois. And if you don't know what Volition does, they do the Saints Row series. They've done a few of the Red Faction games. Red Faction Guerrilla, which is actually one of my favorite games from them, or from the series. I played the first, I think the first two, and then Red Faction Guerrilla would have been the third if they kept on numbering them. And then there was Red Faction Armageddon, which I actually never played. I heard it was okay, but nothing like Red Faction Guerrilla was. So, and then some other games they had Summoner, which I don't think I'm not sure what that is. I think one and two, or at least one. They did Descent 1 and 2. I believe. Yep. Another one called Free Space 1 and 2. I'm not sure what that
Yay!
is.
Descent and Free
Well, that's
Space.
right.
Woo-hoo.
You've mentioned that before. And then they had a licensed game, The Punisher, from Marvel Comics, which I never played, but actually looked pretty decent from what I've seen. I think that was back in the maybe 360, maybe even the original Xbox. I'm not quite sure. And they're actually owned by Deep Silver now. And they just made an announcement. When I guess all the E3 games that are coming out. Of a new game called Agents of Mayhem. So they go into a little bit of detail on the IGN article here that I posted. They actually have a trailer, which is just a cinematic trailer, CG trailer, basically, kind of what do you want to call it? Like cel-shaded cartoony graphics. It looks pretty nice though. It's not like too super cartoony, but you know, kind of that stylized cel-shaded look. So open world game, like I said, they don't go into too many details, but it's open world game, which obviously Volition's known for. You can play three different, or at least for now, at least in the trailer, three different classes or agents. And it looks like it's just, from what the article, it's just an exclusively single player game, which I thought was kind of weird. This is part of their IGN First, which every month they pick a game. They kind of just, through the month, they go over, you know, the details of the game. So this is their game for June. So they'll kind of go in depth with the developers and kind of talk about their they're going to talk about the trailer, and they're going to have actual gameplay, which I'm assuming is going to come after next week, most likely. You know, when E3 is going on. But I don't know if you guys got a chance to see this the trailer or not, and kind of what you guys thought. Kind of almost looked like a Crackdown game almost. I got that kind of vibe from it.
Yeah, so I'm a big Saints Row fan, or at least Saints Row 3 and 4. Just the over-the-top kind of dumb humor it is. I really enjoyed those games, and Volition does a good job with open worlds, third-person shooters, kind of world building and character building. Definitely get some flavor of Saints Row out of the characters that they showed the three, the woman with the drones, the swearing pirate, and then the narcissistic actor, kind of Johnny Cage-like from Mortal Kombat. And then even at the end, there's a nice little Saints Row tweak where the symbol is close to the fleur-de-lis from the Saints Row, and the character at the end says, "Not a street gang," right? And Saints Row 4 was very much like Crackdown. It was a great Crackdown because you were in a big open world and you had superpowers. It was, and you were collecting orbs even. It was a really fun Crackdown game. So I think that they could, they certainly know that wheelhouse. And I'm very glad to have them go back and start with a new IP than to go and try to redo Saints Row in some way. I'd much rather have that. The way they left Saints Row, it definitely kind of closed off and gives them a chance to kind of think about something different and creative. So I'm glad to hear that they're doing something, and I hope that it comes together and doesn't get delayed.
Yeah, I never did get a chance to play 3 or 4 yet. I think that Get Out of Hell was kind of like an extension of maybe a 4. I don't think it was really 5 or anything like that, but I haven't played those last 2 or 3. I think I played a little bit of 3, just like the beginning, like maybe first 1 or 2 missions, and that was about it. But I played the first 2, and those I really liked those ones. Those were more of kind of Grand Theft Auto-ish games there, obviously of their kind of humor, though, of Volition's humor. It kind of went beyond Grand Theft Auto, kind of made it more cartoony, but it was still, you know, really fun. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what this game's going to offer. Gray, I don't know if you got a chance to see this game or if you've ever played any of the Saints Row or Red Faction. Obviously, you said Descent. You played those, but any other games?
Now, just the Descent and Free Space. Descent 1, and when it first came out, I think it was Shareware. Actually, Shareware. And then Free Space 2, I'm a big fan of, but that's it. No Saints Row. Even though they look great, they reviewed great. No Saints Row for me.
Alrighty. So the next item I have here is a little bit of Minecraft news. Over at the Minecraft forums, they actually had a story last week, I think it was Friday, that Minecraft has sold over 100 million copies worldwide, excuse me, worldwide, and that's combined with all the different iterations, you know, console, PC, and mobile. And just a couple of facts that they threw out there was the PC, or I'm sorry, the Pocket Edition, which is just the mobile edition for, you know, iOS and Android, has actually outsold the PC version. And then the consoles, which is all platforms, Sony, or excuse me, PlayStation, Xbox, and actually Nintendo, I just got it, a few months ago. They actually have combined, they've actually outsold the PC version also. So it's really interesting that, you know, that this game is just, it just keeps going. And the little stat they had out there too was since the beginning of 2016, on average, it's They've sold like 53,000 copies sold per day, which is obviously that's, there's more, more or less maybe here and there, but on average that's how many copies they sold. Now I just it's just amazing. I don't know how like this keeps getting, people keep buying this and how this is even still being sold, but it's still going strong. So I don't know, what do you guys think?
It reminds me of Myst a little bit. Myst was still selling for years and years. It was the number one game for many years. But I think one of the big things that's happening here is as parents get new devices, they buy the game again. So if you had a, I don't know, if you had it on, let's say you had it on a iPad, and then you get a console. Well, the kids want to play it on the console now, so the parent buys one. I had it on my iPad, introduced my grandkids to it, and then their mom ended up having to buy it for her iPad so they could play it on her iPad. So, yeah, I think a lot of those sales are from somebody who has multiple copies. I know I have it on PC, iPad, and I also have it on Xbox 360 and Xbox One.
Yeah, it's pretty much, yeah, I have it on pretty much everything. I haven't bought it on the Nintendo system yet, but I probably will eventually, just to round off my collection there.
So the Nintendo Minecraft is actually really fun. My kids and I have been having a great time with it because it's expensive. It's $30, which is kind of crazy for Minecraft. But my two sons pooled their birthday money and got it just the past couple weeks because they came out with the Nintendo skins and mods. And so there's all kinds of different Nintendo characters. There's mods in terms of different, Toad's Village and Mushroom Castle, Princess Castle and Bowser's Castle, all kinds of different things. So they're having a blast kind of playing around in the Nintendo version of it. But yeah, for the sales numbers, those are crazy. And this coming year, the console versions are going to have some of the popular PC mods like the Hunger Games mod. And a couple others that they're doing and sponsoring and creating multiplayer versions of. So that was something I was reading about as well. So as they're continuing to sell enormous amounts of copies, that they're continuing to support it as well.
Oh yeah,
I
I did
think that
actually. Oh, go ahead,
go
Greg.
ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, yeah, I just saw that too, that they're gonna call, I think they're calling it mini games. So yeah, they'll have different, little mini games like the Hunger Games and stuff like that. And I don't know, it's just like you said, I've we bought it and everything, and I actually almost, because of that mod you're talking about for the Nintendo, I almost actually jumped on it at that point, but I kind of stopped myself. But yeah, it's just amazing. My son plays it on pretty much anything I have. He'll, if it's on my phone, he'll, stop and grab it, or, on my iPad. We played it on the 360. Once I got the one, we started playing on that. So, we just play it on everything. And it's just, it's great. Hopefully they'll bring over the, I forgot what they call it, but basically the servers that you can pay for, and basically have a persistent world open all the time over to the consoles, because they don't have that yet. Even they do have it on PC, but they don't, and I think they even have it on mobile, but they don't have it on the consoles yet. So hopefully one day they'll bring it over to the consoles.
Yeah, I think the Xbox One deal was the best. I think it was $5. If you had it on 360, you get it $5 for the one. As far as the servers, isn't the server software free on the PC? One of the guys, Caden, was hosting a server for a number of months up at CAG. Is that software still free? I thought it was.
Yeah, you could still do it free. Realms is what I was thinking of. Is basically you can buy a server that they basically house, wherever online or whatever, and they can, you just pay whatever monthly fee. I don't remember how much it was, and it's always there and it's always open for everybody. With the PC, obviously you got to have your PC up and running all the time. So people, turn their stuff off and stuff like that every once in a while, so you never know. But these ones are always on. The Realms servers are always on and always up, barring like maintenance or whatever, I'm assuming. So I think that's the difference. You can still do it, just on your PC if you want to.
Cool. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and jump into my news story. My news story is not so much news. I just really want to run down the big conferences. So for E3, so starting Sunday, June 12th, is the EA conference at 1 p.m. Pacific. We're just gonna go with Eastern times, 4 p.m. Eastern. So that's the EA conference. Now, last year I thought that was a bust. So I don't know how much of that I'll watch. Bethesda, the game company I have a hard time saying.
You said it right that
I
time.
didn't think. Yeah, I didn't do too bad. I'm not going to try it the second time, though. I'm surprised they're doing another one because they said last year that they didn't think they were going to do one every year. So they're at 10 p.m. Eastern. That's well past my bedtime. Microsoft, a big one I would like to see, is June 13th. That's a Monday, I believe. And that is 12:30. That's lunchtime, Eastern. I love it. And then we have the PC Gaming Show, which was last year extremely long and extremely slow. And I watched maybe a 2 minutes of it before I said, yeah, I'm done with that. And that is at, hopefully it's better this year. That is at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. And let's see, Ubisoft, again, June 13th, 4 p.m. Eastern. Sony, June 13th, 9 p.m. Eastern. And last but not least, Nintendo, June 14th at 12 p.m. Eastern, right around lunchtime. So those are all the ones I found over on the gaming websites. You guys, if there's another one you want to throw in there, please feel free to, but those were the biggies that I could find.
Yeah, I'm hoping EA's a little more, I don't know how I want to say this, tightened up, I guess. They kind of cut the fat off of it, and and they don't spend so much time on the sports stuff. So in celebrity interviews and stuff like that, I don't think you need to really do that during a conference. You can do that later, during like the E3 floor show, or I guess for them, they're not going to be at E3, but their play event or whatever they're doing, separately off site. So. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see Bethesda too, see what they're going to show, if there's anything big that they're going to throw out. Any kind of, hopefully, cross my fingers, Elder Scrolls news. Normal, Elder Scrolls, what would that be? Five, I guess?
Six, right?
Think? Six? Okay, I couldn't remember. I never played any of the older ones. I started at Oblivion, so I'm not sure how many were after that or before that. And then I don't think I watched any of the PC gaming show last year, so maybe I'll catch a little bit of that. And obviously Microsoft I want to see, and Ubisoft, Sony, and Nintendo I'll probably kind of wait maybe until later on and just kind of skip through that. So yep, those are my high points for this year. How about you, DB? Anything that you're looking forward to?
So I'm really curious to see what EA does with their EA Play, and if it ends up being like a press conference, or if it ends up being something a little different, where they are doing a few big announcements, but then doing a lot of Let's Play and game streaming stuff. So I think the other piece that I'm interested in, although still kind of just baffled by, is Nintendo's Treehouse, that they did announce that they're going to have some additional streaming plans, that they're not just doing Zelda all day, every day, that they're going to have a few other Pokemon Go for mobile devices, the new Pokemon game for the 3DS, Sun and Moon, a couple other RPGs. But again, I really am curious how they stretch that out. So, yeah, I think it'll be, it's always, as Gray said at the beginning of prepping for tonight, and as I sang at the end of E3 last year, it really is an exciting time as a gamer. So it is the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, we were. I was singing that. I guess channeling DB from last year before we started. E3 is just such a, for a gamer, it's such a great time. Such a, great time to learn about all the new stuff that's coming out. DB, sorry, Prime. Did you have something to add?
I was going to say something, but you know what? I think I'll leave it for our topic of the week.
All right, well, with that said, we're done with segment two. Before we go into segment three, a couple things. First of all, if you make or sell games or gaming products or report gaming news, and you'd like to sponsor the Band of Gamers podcast, we'd love to have you sponsor us. So if you want to find out how you can sponsor us and talk to us about ideas or thoughts, just drop us an email over at podcast@bandofgamers.net. I don't think I said that well. Let me try that again. Podcast@bandofgamers.net. And with that, we're bringing up a new segment this week. Well, kind of new segment this week. The question of the week. And the question of the week last week was, if you found yourself off the grid, like I went camping, if you found yourself off the grid with just a netbook or an old laptop, not a modern gaming laptop, but something of age, something low powered, what retro game would you opt to play? And I'm gonna go through all the respondents, but I want to start with Osiris because he's here. Osiris, what did you pick? What retro game would you pull out?
I picked Command and Conquer Red Alert 2, which is probably my favorite RTS game of all time. Actually, I think that might have been the first RTS game I played with my friends. We used to actually, I'd have them come over into my room and they'd set up their PCs and we'd just, have a little LAN party right there. Maybe like three or four computers. So, it got hot. Really hot in that room, really quick with all those PCs running. But yeah, that was, I never had played an RTS before that. And, first time, obviously the first few times that I was playing, I was, just getting my butt kicked. But once I got used to it and, did the management of all the things you have to go through and all your resources and stuff, we had a blast just playing all the time, just against each other. And sometimes we jumped online and we'd be kicking butt. So that was my pick.
Nice pick. I have the original Command and Conquer. Actually, a while back, I have several copies, and some of the kids, I get the kids into it, and they love the Red Alert series. And but somewhere along the line, Origin had a big EA had a big sale, and I picked up like the entire series. So yeah, we should put together a retro night. Of course, as everybody heard last week in the podcast, I chose Dark Forces. I actually played Dark Forces at the campground, and I uploaded the video to my YouTube channel, which is Greylock3491. Just search for that on YouTube. And let me go through some of the other choices people had. Downriver Rat chose Age of Empires 2, which he is a humongous fan of. Him and I have played a lot of Age of Empires 3, but he chose Age of Empires 2. Mr. Bobo, a good friend and friend of the show and friend one of the co-founders and co-leaders of Fireteam Canuck chose Doom 2, which may have been twice as good as Doom. I don't know because I never played either of them. But that's what Mr. Bobo chose. Raptor chose Civilization. He said the newest version of Civ that would run on my old laptop, whatever laptop you gave me, that's what I would choose because he loves a Civ. And Ryder, F4I Ryder, he chose, and this is a classic, right? I think we all played this a little bit when we were kind of bored just hanging around. He chose Minesweeper. Although I don't know if there's any way to actually win that game without being lucky. I spent a lot of time playing that when first got Windows 3. Red Eyes. I'm not surprised by this. He chose Quake 2. Mike K chose SimCity, another game I loved. Justin chose any ancient Nintendo game emulated on my mobile device. So yeah, that's cool. And then Tristan, my good old buddy Tristan, chose SimCity 2000, another game that I lost a lot of time with. So I want to thank everybody for all the time you spent sending in your answers and posting your answers. And now we have a new question of the week this week. And we want to know what was the best thing, because this is airing right before E3, you're going to need a little time to give us the answer. So we want to know, what was your favorite thing and the worst thing out of E3? So what did you like the most, and what did you think was the worst thing you've heard out of E3? So that is our question of the week. We look forward to hearing from you. You can post it over at the site. You can email us at podcast@bandagames.net. But we'd love to hear, what did you think was the best and worst of E3? And that's it for this week's question of the week. Now, on to segment number three. And this week, this segment is sponsored by CAGNFL.com, the world's most prestigious all-pro football league. And the topic of the week is E3 predictions, hopes, and fears. And Prime, your name is first. So tell us, give us some predictions, some hopes, and some fears for E3.
Oh boy. Okay. So hopefully the one thing I'm hopeful is going to happen as I get from Microsoft is a firm date on Crackdown 3. Hopefully that comes out this year. Once again, fingers crossed. And also a firm date on ReCore, which they showed last year, and I don't think we've seen anything actually from it since last E3. That was the one where it was kind of the girl and her a little robot dog, and they kind of come up on these enemies, and the dog sacrifices himself, and then he had like this little glowing orb on the middle of his body. She kind of put it in one of the enemies, and he came back to life as that enemy. So hopefully we get some more not only information on hopefully gameplay on Recore, but we get a date on, I say firm date, but at least like a general area of when it might come out. Prediction, and this is maybe a crazy prediction, probably, but Nintendo was just pulling our legs, pulling our chain this whole time, and they're actually gonna come at us with what the NX is about, which I know that's a pipe dream right there. And then just a kind of a fear that there might not be a lot of new IPs that are coming out. Obviously, Recores would be a new IP, but I don't. And we actually had another one. The one I talked about, Agents of Mayhem. So that's two at least that we know of. So hopefully all these companies will throw out a bunch of IPs that, new stuff that's, coming our way. So that's all I had. Any comments or questions?
I appreciate your wishful thinking about Nintendo, but yeah, I'm excited about Recore. Recore was something that was really interesting last year. I think it could be a fun and a different game in Microsoft's portfolio in terms of maybe a little bit of puzzle, a little bit of platformer. It could be really interesting.
Yeah, Recall looked really good. That I'd love to see more about that. That cinematic you just described very well, looked pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, I know my Nintendo one or my predictions is a total crazy one, but I figured I'd throw it out there, see what happens. But more than likely, we're not gonna see. Well, obviously, we're not gonna see anything. I just, maybe they'll drop a little hint at their one of the end of their treehouse or one of their little directs or whatever they're gonna do throughout the week. DB, how about you? What you got?
So, E3 is the most wonderful time of the year, but also it can be kind of depressing too. So my fear over E3 is that the only games that we're going to see that are going to be playable and available this fall are things that we already know about. That there's not going to be any big surprises. Last year we had the fun surprise of Fallout 3, even if it got leaked a little bit beforehand, it was still. Or Fallout 4, right? It was still this thing that up until then we didn't know was coming, or it was only rumored. So my fear is that the games that are going to be playable this year are really just stuff that they teased us with last year, like Crackdown 3, as you said, Prime, or maybe even ReCore. Or one game that I was really excited about last year was Horizon Zero Dawn from why can't I think of them? From
Guerrilla
the
Games?
Sony developer, yeah, Guerrilla Games. Thank you. I couldn't think of that series at all. Total brain lapse. So yes, Guerrilla Games, and
I have
that
no
is
idea why I knew
already.
that.
Thank you though. That game is now already. They just put out a new trailer this week, and it's coming out in early 2017. So another big favorite series of mine is Mass Effect, and that we already know EA has said is coming out in 2017. So my hope is that we actually get to see something new and get to play something new, but my fear is that we won't. In terms of Microsoft, I think we're going to see 250 priced Microsoft Xbox Slim, whatever they end up calling it. That rumor is out there, it's relatively confirmed. They're going to have to talk about their 2017 Microsoft or Xbox box as well, and my real hope there is that it's got a path to Oculus compatibility, that it's either built in or that there's an upgrade box alongside of it, like the PlayStation VR has. So that's my hope with Microsoft. Sony, I hope they throw some new IPs at us. That Sony's always been really creative, but my assumption is that we're going to see a whole lot of VR and they're going to push that heavy. Because outside of Last Guardian, and even Last Guardian may not come out this year again, that I don't know that Sony has a whole lot of first party or even exclusives for the fall. They're going to have new DLC and extra content for Destiny and Call of Duty, probably, some type of add-on for Battlefront, but really, Sony's diving in hard to the VR. So regardless of what they talk about the PlayStation Morpheus or PlayStation 4K, that it's really going to be a VR show for them. EA, and I'm curious on you guys. You're both first-person shooter fans. So the thing that I'm trying to wrap my head around for EA is that they're releasing Battlefront 1 in mid-October, and then they just had an investors call that says they're releasing Titanfall 2 a few weeks afterwards. And so they've got two big first-person shooter IPs coming into the fall. How do they not kind of cannibalize each other? Or are they different enough games that it's not going to matter? Prime, you're a big Call of Duty fan. Infinity Ward or now Respawn. Is Titanfall 2 something that you're interested in diving into?
Yes, definitely. I love the first one. I played a whole bunch of it. I haven't played it a lot lately, but pretty much that first, I'd say like 9 months or so, maybe even a year, that I was pretty much playing it exclusively. I'll probably buy the new Call of Duty just because I'm just a big fan of Call of Duty. I know that's, I don't know if that's good to say or not, but I like it. So that's all that matters. And some of them, yeah, haven't been all that great. Ghosts wasn't the best, at least for single player. I didn't really. I thought the Ghost storyline was just, kind of generic. I did like the multiplayer though, and that's pretty much why I buy the Call of Duties. And I know there's been always been a lot of talk, especially the last couple of years, that they might kind of go on just like a multiplayer only game eventually, which would be fine with me. I don't really care. But yeah, I definitely am gonna buy Titanfall 2 more than likely. I mean, unless they it looks really crappy and it looks like they haven't done anything with it, which I highly doubt because Respawn's usually, or the guys from Respawn who used to do the Call of Duty series, they're always pretty good at making games. And I don't know, Battlefield lately, I'll probably just wait on the new one, just to see how it looks. I definitely want to see more game or some gameplay. I shouldn't say not more gameplay because they haven't shown any gameplay really. So I definitely want to see more gameplay on the new Battlefield. And I don't know, because I think Titanfall, the first one, came out in, I believe, February when it originally came out. And I was actually hoping that they would kind of push it, they kind of leave it to next year and, January, February, March time frame. But I'm, to be honest with you, to be honest with you guys, I don't know what they're thinking of releasing both of these at, within a few weeks of each other. Yeah, they're different. Battlefield's always been about, big battle, bad, a big battlefield, obviously, duh. Vehicles, obviously, is important. Battlefield, Titanfall is just mechs, and who knows what, they might introduce, more things. And some of the levels, sometimes they had, these tanks and stuff, kind of just sitting there. You couldn't get them in or anything. But maybe, maybe you'll be able to now. Who knows? So, I don't know. Gray, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a mistake to release them really close together because I think first-person shooter fans probably like both, at least enough of them do, that releasing them in the same month, I would do one October, one December. I wouldn't do them side by side like that.
So those are my predictions, or at least hopes and fears. How about you, Gray?
Well, I'm going into E3 looking for a lot of information. I really, really, really would like to get No Man's Sky on my PC. Don't know if my PC can run it, but I'd like to get it on it. Love to see a Halo Wars 2 demo that doesn't suck. I really, really enjoyed Halo Wars, and I would love to see Halo Wars 2 improve on that formula. I want to see what's new with Destiny? What's new with Titanfall? What's new with Call of Duty, Battlefield, Forza, Halo? All those main franchises I love. I just want to get updates on them. Not trailers. I want and not some guy. I remember this. There was this famous Call of Duty reveal, where half of the reveal was a guy crawling through a tunnel, like it looked like a sludge pipe. It was like a muddy tunnel, crawling through. It was like no bigger than like a pipe. It was like that. Don't do that. Give us good demos. Show us something really cool. Don't show us the lamest part of your level. And then hopefully we're going to hear about free DLC or for Halo, Destiny, Battlefront, Rainbow Six Siege. And I would all love to hear about original backwards compatibility or backwards compatibility for original Xbox games. They already have the emulator for the 360, so I don't know why they just can't port it over to the Xbox One. But I just think it'd be cool to be able to play your original Xbox games on your Xbox One. So those are the kind of things I'd love to hear about. Now, my biggest hope is that the new Xbox has announced the Scorpio, or I think I called it Scorpion last week, and it blows away the Neo, the PS Neo benchmarks, like we saw on some of the sites. I think it was Polygon, Kotaku, and those were showing those graphs. I really hope, and I hope it comes out this year, not next year. And the next thing I hope, and I guess my fear is, that the next Xbox won't be as good as the next PlayStation. The next Battlefield may really not be that good. I'm hoping it's good, but World War One is kind of tough material, right? And that the next Halo looks more like Halo. Not that there's anything wrong with Halo 5, but fighting those Guardians or fighting the minions of the Guardians, I forget what they're called. Not as fun, just not as fun. So those are my fears that the next Xbox not is not going to be as good as it needs to be to be on par with the PlayStation, and that Battlefield or Halo may not be as good as they should be. So thoughts, questions?
Yeah, I just gotta echo you, both of you guys, on the new, well, supposedly new Xbox. Hopefully, it does work with the Oculus Rift, because I think I've said this on the past. I really like I've always liked, like the Kinect and the Wii, the Waggle. Everybody kind of makes fun of it, but I always liked that. And I always wish that, as they upgraded those things, they would have got like way better, or actually even taken the time to really upgrade them, because. I think they kind of missed the boat on both the the Kinect and the Wii, the remote control, Wii remote control, excuse me. And it could have just been, much better than, that they started off with. And with the Kinect, they always had the demos at E3 that, showed all this cool stuff, and it just never really came to fruition. So I'm hoping with, with the new Xbox, supposed new Xbox, that it does work with the Rift, and somehow I'll make that work where I can actually buy a Rift. So obviously, it's not the cheapest thing in the world. So, but I was also kind of thinking, and this is what I was kind of holding this over from one of our news stories. Are you guys like really hyped about this year's E3? Because I don't know. At least maybe for me, I just don't have that same kind of like excited feeling, I guess, like that I used to have in the past for this coming event. I don't know if it's just because. So many of the publishers, EA, Disney, and Activision, they're not going to actually be there, with, all the other groups. And so I don't know if that's part of it, or I don't know, maybe I'm just kind of falling away. I don't want to say falling away from games, or just maybe just because there's, the internet and everything, you always just hear about games pretty much right away anyways. Or is E3 even really relevant anymore? What do you guys
Well, you
think?
know, yeah, I'm excited because Sony and Xbox are both holding back announcements for that week of E3. And so thank you guys for holding back those announcements, because it's going to be so great to hear about all the new stuff you're coming out with. And there are some games that the game companies are holding back on. Titanfall 2, Battlefield 1, and some of the others we've talked about. Yeah, the new Destiny DLC is going to be talked about a couple days beforehand, but so there's a lot of good stuff coming out. Maybe we'll see a new Forza. Maybe we'll hear about a new Halo. We definitely should hear about the new Call of Duty, right? And maybe if we get lucky, Destiny 2. Although now that they're coming out with the DLC, I don't know if that would kind of spoil the DLC sales. I don't know. But then Halo Wars 2, and yeah. So no, I am excited. And I also agree with you that if they come out with a new Xbox that supports Rift, I'm going to do everything in my power to try to get one as well, because there's a lot of games, especially if the Rift library from Windows 10 can be played on this new Xbox. Yeah, that'd be really, really cool. But what do you think, DB? You excited or not?
Oh, I have spent so many years slagging off at work watching E3 press conferences and coming home to make sure I catch them. I love the potential of the announcement. Just like that event status of it. I think the piece that worries me is the press cycle. And you guys have kind of alluded to this, is that by the nature of game development nowadays, for the most part, we hear about things over a year before they actually are released. And so the new stuff we're going to hear about isn't going to be stuff we're going to be able to play. The stuff that's going to come out is stuff that I'm going to be excited for. I can remember standing in a line 2 years ago in Legoland, checking my Twitter feed because I wasn't able to watch the Microsoft press conference, and seeing Cuphead and being super excited. And to think that I'll be able to finally play it this fall, that's great. That's really exciting. To think that maybe there's going to be some more information about Sea of Thieves or what Rare's doing, that could be really interesting. And whatever they announce could be really interesting, but it's such a delayed gratification because I'm not going to get to play it until next year, maybe even later. So yeah, I'm not as excited as I used to be, but I do know that, as other game press outlets have said, that there's stuff that was at Judges Week that we haven't seen yet. So it'll be interesting to see what those things are, and if they're exciting or if they're just, if it's just Watch Dogs 2, which we know is coming because Ubisoft sent out press kits and watches to YouTube influencers before they announced anything officially. So, I hope it is something that can get some good coverage and get people engaged and, encourage people, regardless of what platform you're on, is to get back and get excited about gaming.
Yeah, I remember last year. I actually was on vacation at when E3 was going on, and unfortunately, I got sick right on that day of. I think it was that Monday when all the big press conferences were going on. So I was actually able to watch most of them, at least parts of them, of all the major conferences, and just sitting there. I think the major things that kind of surprised me at that time was when Xbox revealed the backwards compatibility, and I was just like, whoa, that just came out of nowhere. So really hoping there's a lot of things like that. I mean, even if it's not for Microsoft, it's Sony or whoever, there's just some kind of like major bomb that they throw out there, whether it be a service or a peripheral or a game, hopefully. They just kind of throw down the gauntlet and you say, say here, here it is, and just drop the mic and walk off stage. So, and then the couple of games that you had mentioned, I actually forgot about Cuphead. I'm just gonna buy that game just because of the art style, because it just looks gorgeous. It's that old, almost like Mickey Mouse, or when he originally came out, cartoonish style. And actually, from what people have said when they've been actually being able to play it, the press, they said it's pretty hard. So, but I just want it just because of the style. It just looks so gorgeous. And then Scalebound, which we haven't heard about for a while. I'm excited for that from, now I forgot their name, the publisher of those guys. They do like all sorts of things. I think they did the new Ninja Turtles game that just came out. I can't remember their name. If anybody wants to look that
Is
up real quick.
that Platinum? Platinum is Scalebound?
Yes. Yeah, Platinum Scalebound. Yep. So that looks interesting because it's
Is it
different than
Platinum?
what they've.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, Platinum. Yep. Yeah, it looks different from what they've done in the past. So I'm excited to look. I'm looking forward to that. I'm not really looking forward to this, but any Gears fans out there? Because I played through the first one, but I thought it was. I thought it was good. And when I first played it the first time, I think I mentioned this in the podcast before. It was the first. That was the first game I played on my first HD TV, and it was just gorgeous. So I don't know if anybody is excited for that or not, but just some, hopefully they'll throw some good stuff at us. Gears fans, anybody?
Silence. No, I like Gears. I mean, I
Crickets,
enjoy it.
crickets.
I enjoy a third person, shooter, cover-based shooter. Certainly, we've talked about things like The Division here that play off of that. But at the same time, it doesn't feel new. I mean, all the things that they've been messaging about Gears 4 is that it's a return to form, which is fine, but I don't know that it necessarily pushes things forward. Microsoft-wise, I think I was just more excited last year in terms of Microsoft. Maybe on Sony's end, I'll end up being more excited this year, but Microsoft had, coming into the fall, they had the Gears Ultimate Collection, they had a Rare Replay, which was a fun surprise. They had the new Tomb Raider. They had Halo 5. There was a good swath of Microsoft exclusive games coming into this coming fall or last fall. And I don't know that, I mean, I'm sure we're going to get, we're on schedule to get, what, Forza Horizon 3? You know, we're going to have things like what Gray mentioned with Halo Wars 2. I just don't know that I'm as excited for this exclusive lineup as I was last year.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what you guys say next week after E3 is completed. And I'm going to use that segue to close out the show. Anything else, guys, before I do?
Just one more thing, Gray. Actually, I just heard this on the podcast, IGN podcast today. They actually delayed No Man's Sky, and I don't know if we talked about this, I guess, a couple months, so it's not coming out until August now.
Oh, I heard it was delayed, but I didn't hear it was August. Thank you.
Yeah, they had mentioned August, so, yep.
Prime has just been ruining all our good transitions all night long. Our segues, I had a good segue, then you had a good segue, and he's just coming in with one more statement. Ugh.
I'm just gonna destroy everything tonight. Just call me Debbie Downer.
No, it's great. It's great. How about you, DB? Anything else before we wrap it up?
No, I'm excited for next week, guys. I'm glad to be here again to talk about E3 and to share some of that, maybe excitement, maybe some disappointment next week. So it'll be good.
Yeah, it'll be great to see what everybody's mood is next time we get together. But that is it for this podcast. I want to thank DBQ Hams and Osiris Prime for returning to join us for Band of Gamers, the Band of Gamers podcast. And we missed you, Zeus. I know you were stuck in traffic and could not make it, and we look forward to hearing your thoughts. Join us next week, Zeus. And if you want to join us on the podcast and be a guest, send us an email over at podcast@bandofgamers.net. And for all of us, I want to thank you for listening, and until the next time we talk, peace.